companies need to understand that they can't create an environment where the employee is only focused on work. Because again, nowadays, we know that work is not the most important thing in life. There are many more important things in life than work, but we need to be able to understand that reality, to create the ideal conditions so that people, when they are working, they love their work and that they're focused and that they are in their right mindset to do so, to do that. So really just understanding the reality.
Welcome to the Hired Hub podcast, your ultimate guide to mastering the complexities of remote work and pushing your career forward.
Whether you're tuning in from the busy streets of Latin America or any corner of the globe, we're here to give you tools and insights to succeed in today's dynamic job market. I'm your host, Gaby Morales.
And I am your co-host, Jess Torres. If you're a recent graduate eager to leave your mark or a seasoned pro looking to redirect your career, you can join us as we explore the endless possibilities of remote work and career growth.
Get ready to unlock your full potential with the Hired Hub podcast.
Welcome back to the Hired Hub podcast. Today, we're diving into two critical topics: bridging generational gaps in the workplace and promoting mental health awareness among younger employees. In our first segment, we will discuss how organizations can bridge the generational gap to work at work. We'll cover topics like working together across ages and flexible policies to encourage inclusivity. Then we'll talk about mental health support for young professionals. We'll explore ways companies can help, from training to peer networks. But first, we want to hear from you. How are you, Gaby?
Hi, Jess. I'm good. And yeah, we definitely want to hear from you guys. As always, we've created a poll in LinkedIn, and we wanted to see what you guys thought about this topic. We asked you, which workplace initiative do you believe is crucial for thriving, for a thriving work environment? And actually, most of you said that mental well-being activities are actually the most important. You guys, 75% of you voted that for that. But then there are other two options that have, you know, a lower percentage. You also mentioned cultural diversity with a 15% and generational harmony with 10%. I think these results, again, since we're already going to talk about all these topics, generational harmony, cultural diversity, and mental well-being, they're all relevant. I think that the fact that most of you answered mental well-being being the most essential initiative for now, for today's companies, I think this makes today's episode even more important. So as always, thank you guys for voting. Jess, what do you think about these results?
Well, I find it really interesting and really clear. The poll shows that mental health, or just in general, mental well-being is the most important thing, or the most important thing that people value in a workplace. So I'm really happy that you guys think that way. Also, it's important that I do think the other two options are really, really important, which we're going to be talking about it today. But yeah, just thank you so much, guys, for interacting with us. And we'll invite you to keep continuing voting on LinkedIn. And we're happy to start our podcast today.
So as Jess said earlier, today we're going to talk about bridging generational gaps in the workplace and promoting mental health awareness among younger employees. Jess, do you remember an experience inside any organization that you've worked in before where they've worked in effectively bridging gaps between different generations in that space?
Yeah, actually, this is one of the companies that I do believe we have that. But before I jump into that kind of conversation, I wanted to, like, as we were preparing the episode, a question came up to my mind. It's like, okay, let's see what generations are. So kind of like as a reminder, I wanted to bring you guys, like, so that you can have an idea. We have the baby boomers, which they are the oldest. They are between the years that were born between 1946 and 1964. Then will another generation come, will be the Generation X. They were born between 1965 and 1980. Then the millennials, where Gabby and I are, we come between 1981 and 1996. And then the youngest generation is the generation, is the Gen Z between 1995 and 2009. So we can see a diverse generations through the ages, we'll say that. And I think it's interesting because I've seen a lot of information of how all of the different generations can work. And like, oh no, probably a stereotype that a baby boomer can have about Gen Z and in general, like vice versa, you know. I do agree that it's great for all us to work together because there are different things that I can learn from different generations, even from baby boomers to Gen Z. I think that really can help our teamwork, you know, like encourage us to learn from other people. That's really good. Also kind of like the having a mentorship, like just in case you're a Gen Z and you probably don't know how to do something, but a baby boomer or a Gen Z or a millennial can teach you. That's really important. And it can be flexible. Like, I think we're starting a new era where we see a lot of young generation working now in these digital platforms because we know we're working remote. So it's more common to have more millennials and Gen Z working on this. Like, we have a lot of people doing it than just baby boomers and Gen X. There are. And again, I am here in this company and I have the opportunity to work with some of them. So I think it's having this appreciation of people, of how can I learn from you or what can I teach you if you don't know? So I think I like it and I think it's really effective in the organizations that I've been. Yeah, I just encourage, if you're a small business owner or if you have a company or whatever and you're listening to us and you're like afraid of not knowing how to blend them or create like a bridge between generations, I think it could be really good for your work, in general workload, and it ensures an inclusive workplace. So I think that's really important. From all of your experience, Gabby, what do you think? Like, have you worked with different generations? How is that experience for you?
Yeah, well, it's been a ride, definitely. My first work experience, like professional work experience, was in a journal. And it had variety. Like, there was a lot of people of different ages. And you really, like you said before, there are a lot of benefits of working with, you know, older people because they have, and I feel like older sounds like a bad word or anything. I don't want to like give it a negative connotation or anything. Wiser people, more experienced people, definitely. I worked with people that had 20, 30 years of experience in their field and they were aces. Like they aced every activity you do. So actually like seeing them do their job and doing it so proficiently, you learn that a lot of things just take practice. And I love to talk to people that have so much experience in years, in their fields. And that's actually something that you see, of course, from these older generations, like the boomers and Gen X, because obviously they have the advantage of time. They've been in this earth more than us. So they know, yeah. they know more by experience. So, that I feel is, it's a big benefit. Like you mentioned, I am a millennial. And now that we have a generation that succeeds us in the workplace, which is Gen Z, I do see what Gen X and boomers said about me at the moment, that we were very different. I see that right now with Gen Z, like their way of thinking, their way of living, and their way of just considering work-life balance is so different from what we're used to and from what I learned from, you know, older generations. So it's definitely a shock, but I love the organizations that just, they take the chance of bringing in people for different kinds of positions that have different ages, because it's definitely, it allows that diversity and knowledge, and it allows for mentorship and learning respect. Because sometimes when we are so away, when we're so far from the other side, it's really hard to understand it. It's really hard to understand where Gen Z is coming from. It's really hard to understand where boomers are coming from, like in their experience. And of course, we have to learn about that. That, you know, shows you a lot of tolerance and respect towards other generations. And I feel like the workplace, a workplace that acknowledges that, is definitely a positive workplace, because it can learn, we learn so much through that process, even more than with people that maybe, than if we only worked with people our age, because we would be boxed.
Yeah.
In a specific mindset, which is, it would be cool at the beginning because you have people that think just like you, but at the end that limits you.
You said
when you're able to share with other generations, with other cultures, like that gives you so much space for improvement in such a quick time. So I've seen that, I've experienced that, and I definitely believe it's a benefit.
I do agree with you. You said it right. Like, it can be cool at the beginning working with people that can think like you, but then it will be a little boring. It's like, where can I learn? Like, what else is here?
Where's the challenge?
You said it. Well, right now I'm thinking a lot of how probably young professionals are thinking. I want to know what help or resources do you think that there are available for young professionals right now? Probably that are looking for a job or are in a job, but let's see this outside of work or career growth, like mentorship or skill development. What do you think?
Yeah, so I'd like to consider myself a young professional.
Yes, we do.
On that basis, I'll talk from my experience. What's worked for me is just joining groups related to my job field. Again, I think we've talked about this in different episodes, but again, like just sharing what other people, just knowing what other people think, even if it's very different because we have, you know, we're from different generations. Like I said, you don't only see this in your workspace. Like you can go to LinkedIn and then you'll see people that are so wise and that share so much information about their field. And it's because they've specialized in it for decades. Whereas, you know, I feel like I have a long time working, but then I summarize that time and it's 10 years. It's barely a decade. There's people that have been in your work field for decades. So they can definitely bring more value to your knowledge and to your field. So I love to learn about, to join groups that are related to my job field. That's one. Another thing that I usually do is, get guidance from mentors again, like through programs. Not only through work, because like I mentioned, it's great to have that at work, but always look for people that know more than you based on experience. Because again, college, university, they teach you a lot, but they don't teach you practice. You learn a lot of theory. Right now, I am in consultations. I'm COO of a marketing agency, and this is the first time that I carry out that role. So I'm still learning. There's still so many things I don't know. And there are moments that I feel so lost. And right now I'm in consultations with a coach that's, you know, he's been CEO for decades of his own businesses. And like every time we speak, first of all, it's a person that is already doing my job. And of course, he's doing it 10 times better because he's been doing it for years. So of course, every time I speak with him, my mind is blown because it just helps me just see things so differently. And at the same time, like I said before, when you see people that are so proficient in what they do, and then you get to talk to them and they tell you how simple it is,
it's like
it usually blows your mind. Exactly. It really, you just like get in this shock state because you're still trying to learn things empirically or through theory on very technical basis. And then someone just explains it from A to B, from A to C, and they do it so swiftly. And you're like, of course.
How didn't I get this before?
Yes, that's usually something that works for me. Again, going to workshops every time I can, it also helps. Like LinkedIn also usually offers a lot of virtual events. And if they don't provide you in that, that in your workspace, you can still look outside of the workspace for those events that you should always be attending to, just so you can learn more. And again, in that case, you're going to see a lot of older people. And yeah. That doesn't mean that their knowledge is outdated or anything. Like, they still have so much to bring to the table, and we have so much to learn from them. So that's something that really I benefit from. What else could I say? Maybe I think that pretty much sums it up. Again, like, mentorship, skill development, I think it's very important for my career growth. Again, just knowing where you want to go. I think that a lot of times you don't know it until you talk to someone that already has gone through that road.
Yes, definitely.
So it really helps a lot.
It could also be benefit people from the same, like you said, he has the same role as you, but even talking to him, knowing that he has worked in different other companies, he can be doing this exact same role as you. He could also have the same age as you. But when you go to that person and you see that he's doing things different, that complements each other in a way that you can see, like, hey, I can also be adding this to this company, or you can do something that I'm doing and that you're not doing in the other company, which I think that that's really good. And it's about not having a mindset or of like, no, I'm not going to share this with you because this is just something we're doing. And again, there's some things that you cannot share because of the policies, but there's some other things like experiences or like ways that you have been handling or managing, I don't know, projects. And I think that's really cool. It's just kind of like an exercise of knowing different things, like how you do it. How do I do it? I think that's great.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's always like little limitations when it comes to gatekeeping some information for what you say. Like, you have to comply with policies and really not disclosing too much because you have to respect, you know, the company's conditions and everything. I think something that helps me, particularly to my case, and I know that it doesn't apply to everyone, is having like, we're part of a conglomerate. So they're like ally companies that we have. And I know other peers, like other COOs that are working for other agencies and other companies that we usually also like really align ever so often. Like, we talk every so often, and they're allowed to disclose. We're not gatekeeping at that extent. Like, if we're a conglomerate, we're trying actually to share information to learn more about each other. So I love that experience. And actually, like you say, it's really people that are also my age. Because like the idea of where I work is that it started as several startups, and we're still like very young overall to be working on those activities. So that definitely works. Jess, you were saying just a couple of minutes ago, like, you were explaining the generations and again, these stereotypes that come along with each generation. You know, what defines, what's a stereotype for younger generations? What's a stereotype for older generations? There's a key aspect that we have to evaluate, which is social media. And that is so pinned to younger generations. Like, what role do you think that social media plays in shaping the professional identities of young workers? And have you seen it been applied positively? Like, I know that we can talk about negative aspects of social media, but have you seen it working positively?
I definitely have. Talking as a social media manager, I think it brings you a lot of benefits, not only for young generations, but also for boomers and Gen X, or even millennials that don't love social media, because I've known a lot. It's like, hey guys, networking, it's one of the things that I value the most. And it's like, I probably have friends all around the world, and they can be showing me something that I don't know, that I, again, it's like, also I can apply it to my job. It's like, why not? If this is working in you guys, why can't try it and see if it works for me? Also because networking and connecting with different professionals, and it keeps you updated, you know. Also, I think personal branding works a lot just in case you want to build your career. I mean, personal branding is not always, it's not just also in social media. I think it's for outside of social media too, but bringing it to social media, it gives you a larger viewer, like a bigger view or like a longer reach, you know, like I can post this story and then another friend that probably is in Australia right now can watch it. So it has no barriers. That's what I love about social media, is that we don't have barriers. And also, another great thing that I love that we also have been talking about, it's about learning about new trends or just staying updated. Like we've said, like webinars, just LinkedIn offers you a lot of these things. Also, another topic that I love and that I know a lot of people are here because of that, it's because of the job search. So, for instance, LinkedIn has like the frames on the profile picture, and it's like they know you're open to work. Or even if it's an Instagram, even close friends, even, I don't know, just stories or posts, it can be really beneficial when you're looking or searching for a new job. And also for people that are looking, like recruiters can also find you because you show yourself there, you know. And yeah, I think using social media in a way that we can be wise about it. Again, it's not about the main tool. It's not about just social media. It's about how I use it. So I think that really can make a difference. And it's just a matter of using it strategically and professionally. It can definitely bring you a lot, tons and tons of different like benefits. What do you think do you think that social media has benefited you in some way throughout your career? Is there any specific thing that you remember? So yeah, I did this in social media and this worked for me or something like that.
Yeah. For me, it's a great learning source. I know that this can backfire if necessary. Like, if you don't know how to navigate through internet, you're going to think that everything is true. But for me, it's been a great source of learning. Since I studied journalism, I know how to identify if something is like
true or false.
Yeah, exactly. If something is true or false. So I think that for me, it's a great learning source. It's very practical. It's didactic for me. And I know that it's not for every generation because, again, older generations are more in tune with more traditional ways of learning. And that's not bad at all, of course. But for us, for example, I've been using a computer since I was 7 or 6.
Oh, wow.
I remember being 6 years old and actually teaching my mom how to use a computer.
That's amazing.
So I've been doing it for my whole life, and that's like us. I don't know what age you started doing it, but Gen Z, like, they've been on their tablets since they were born. Exactly. So of course they're more in tune with digital learning sources. So for me, it's great for learning. I think it's the biggest benefit I find, and of course networking. And building relationships. Like I've received great offers, like you say, like just through social media and not even LinkedIn, but actually, you know, I have friends that I have moved around the world, and then they have friends that are from their space, from their location. And then sometimes I post things and I've been able to find like opportunities like just through there. So of course it's a great source for that. And then What I still haven't been able to ace for myself, but I know that's very important for other people, and especially when it comes to specific fields, is this personal branding. So I've seen many accounts. Like, I have friends that have 5 different accounts, and each account is about something different. Like, I have friends who are designers, so they have a brand they have an account that's specifically about the designs that they do, mm-hmm. and that's all they post. And that is also generates brand awareness, like, because it's their like professional account for people to find them. And again, having an account on Behance for your designs is not enough. Like, if you're on Instagram, if you're on other platforms, it makes sense. So that use and that benefit, I feel it's essential, and it really shapes positively the way that we use social media in our professional life.
Talking about social media brings a lot of other things through, like around not just workplace, but also talking about well-being and mentally well-being. Like, you know, what are some best practices for balancing productivity expectations with prioritizing mental health and well-being in the workplace? Because we know we have the phone or phones right in our hands, but at the same time, yeah, it's like we can be so distracted, we can lose time because, I mean, it's social media, it's fun, it's like a drug. So what are those things that you can recommend us, or just a great practice that it has been working for you to be better at your workplace?
Yeah, so definitely, like, in social media has a big toll on what is mental health and well-being, and it also affects your productivity. So that's a great question. For me, what works is being able to compartmentalize my time. And I know I love social media. I love to be on Instagram. It's the app that I most use. And I just block. I have like time limits on it on a daily basis, because I open my phone and I open it and I say it's going to be 5 minutes only. And then half hour later, I'm still there. Yeah, so yeah, that's a great way to look at it. You know, you ask me that question and I interpret it a different way, like balancing productivity expectations with prioritizing my mental health and well-being. I don't only think about, you know, what do I do with social media? Mm-hmm. It's really just how do I manage the expectations that are required from me in my workspace, especially being young and to an extent, inexperienced. And how do I balance that so I still have, you know, positive mental health and well-being? For me, it's having open communication. First of all, I cannot be a yes man. And I feel like that's a common mistake of people that are just learning to work, that are just starting to work. Sometimes you can't afford to not be a yes man. Like, sometimes that's what the expectation of the role requires, you know. But with time, I've learned that I do better my job if I know my limits and I'm able to say no when needed, and also when I'm able to just get the information that I need to do the job. Sometimes you'll get a requirement and it will not be clear enough, so you have to be proactive there and just seek the right amount of information that you need to do properly your job. So the open communication for me is a must. Flexibility is also a must. Like, and again, we've talked about this in different episodes, like what's important for mental health, like being able to have a job that adapts to my needs, to my day-to-day. So definitely I love digital work for that. And I think that a lot of young professionals can align with that. Like, a lot of young people, that's why they see so attractive the remote work idea. Having clear goals, like just knowing what the job is, like knowing where I'm going towards with my activities on a day-to-day basis, but also in the long run, I think it's very important having healthy breaks throughout the day. And I think that is that goes in line with the flexibility. Again, that way I can still do other things that I find entertaining for me, or that I find that can help me unwind from the job. I love, like, something that is a must for me is having a lunch break.
Yes.
That's something that's a cultural shock, I think, for American companies.
Yeah, for some people it's like, ugh, that's not important. But for a lot of people, it's like, no, you need it.
I need at least an hour break, and then maybe like a half hour break throughout the day after that or before that. In general, like, I need that break so I can just disconnect from work. I can spend some time for myself, and then I can just refocus. Again, once I take those breaks, it's easier for me to focus in my job. Whereas if I'm doing a complete 8-hour shift, by hour 5, I am going crazy. I'm going crazy. I'm like, that's when I get into my phone. That's when I start doing other things that, you know, don't make me so productive. So that, and then self-care, I think it's important too. Like, again, we've talked about this before, training, like we've mentioned a minute ago about, you know, receiving, just learning more I think it's very important for your well-being, because when you get stuck, that generates like frustration. Something that's very important for me is a good example of leadership. Like, not only being a good leader, because as CEO, I am a leader, but also having a good example for leadership. Like, I need to admire the person that I'm working under. I need to really value the work that they're doing and their point of view, even if I don't always align to it. By respecting it, it really just allows me to comply with it if it's necessary. And that you really achieve that through leadership and through positive leadership, I would say, even. There's a lot of many things. Like, do you think of other things that can help you, like, balance that work-life balance with those productivity expectations?
I just think that having a calendar where you have, as we've said before, everything that has to be done, not only for work in the sense of, yes, I'm going to lunch and people should know I'm going to lunch or like I having a break right now or I need to focus on something. So Google Calendar, it's the best tool for that. Not that we're doing ads to Google Calendar, but it is really helpful. And I think that also it comes with those boundaries. Like it sets you on a specific time zone and time frame where you're going to be true to yourself. Like, yes, I'm going to be doing this. And like also what you said, the 10-20 half hour break, or about the flexibility work. If you have this communication with your boss and you being honest, like, hey, I cannot think right now. Can you please give me like 20, 30 minutes? I don't know. And especially I think for people that are really creative, for example, I do have to record a lot of videos and I have to think of how can I make these videos. So sometimes being in front of that computer, it's not going to help me with that creativity, you know? And so I think I do have to do something else to like get out of the box in order to organize all of my thoughts in order for them to be better and structured, you know? It's kind of difficult to explain, but I think that's really important, like for you to be focused, like balance. It's a really important area for me.
Right. I want to ask you, because again, like you've mentioned, you work on social media and you were just talking about social media and productivity.
Yeah.
Like, how do you do it to stay productive when your main work is to be on social media?
That's a hard question. Sometimes I really have been thinking about this. I want to close my social media sometimes so I can just focus on the other things. That's what sometimes I want to. But on the other hand, I think that since we have a lot of different platforms, I can take ideas from probably my personal Instagram. And then I can mix it with something that I see on the Hire Remotely Instagram. You know, it's like, It has to be flexible. Like in my calendar, I do have a focus time where I have selected like different times to first check Instagram, check LinkedIn, check all these different platforms and see, okay, people are talking about this. This is trending. Now let's make this work. And so that's where the fun part comes. It's like a Frankenstein. It's like, yes, I am going to have this idea and I want to make it work to this company. So I know I just enjoy it. I just enjoy it because it's a really creative role. So I think I wouldn't be able to just do like a, how do you say, like more structured work, like, yeah, like a normal or no, like, I wouldn't be able to be like, I don't know, an accountant or,
oh,
you know,
like, yeah, me neither.
Yeah, like those kind of jobs for me are not like my jobs. I do need creativity in my life at some point. So I just think that's important for me.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people that use creativity in these more traditional works, may I say. I don't know how I would apply because, again, we haven't worked there. But I do have friends that are accountants and they love their work and they say, according to them, that they're very creative. So we would have to, I would love to know more about that. And if you're on YouTube, like if you're watching this from YouTube, by any chance, if you know about that, just comment. Like if you have a more traditional work, how do you find creativity in that workspace? Like we would love to hear your comments, to read your comments about that.
This reminds me of someone that we work with, a PM of us. And I think she's really creative when it comes, like she's really structured, but I also think that this structure brings us a really different part of creativity, like with colors and stuff. I don't know. I just think it could be a really great mix.
That's actually a really great topic. Like, how do you find creativity in your day-to-day activities?
I love it.
Going back to this topic about, you know, social media and specifically just technology, like how do you think that digital platforms can be used to promote mental health awareness and provide resources for younger employees? Like, so have you worked in a company where they consider these aspects, like they consider tools or benefits that use specific platforms?
I did think that we have a lot of online resources in general for mental health and tools. I was talking with my boyfriend the other day that there's even an app where you can literally just talk with a psychologist if you need it. And it's totally online. And I do think talking with someone that helps your mental health, it's benefit free. It's really life changing. I started going to the psychologist this year just because I thought it was really important, not because any kind of like deep thing like depression or anxious. I just think that the exercise of talking, it's really important. Like letting people know how you feel about something, it's really important, and them providing a different view, and a professional view, which it's, I think, really important. So I think there are a lot of online resources for mental health. Just in case you guys are going through a rough time, I do recommend you this. Or also virtual therapy sessions. Like, I don't have to go to meet with my psychologist because I just call her, you know? That's a good thing that virtual has brought us to nowadays. And also, I think that there are a lot of spaces that companies can probably start creating a little bit more, because I know sometimes for companies, it's not that important. But if they think there should be an exercise, I don't know, from human resources, I don't know, like, there should be any kind of activities that the companies can do to improve mental health. I think that's really good.
You know what we do in the company work? Engagement, like Friday sessions, where we just like talk or play games. And at the beginning, everybody thought it was stupid.
But it's necessary.
It's because it's meant to be like leisure time. It's meant to be time where you can just engage with your peers on a more casual level. And then it also lets you like decompress. And we actually do it on Friday so that you can start your Friday on a good, like your weekend on a good tone. But definitely, I think that works. And I feel like a lot of companies do not value the importance of those kinds of activities. And it really gets you a long way. When it comes to motivation, when it comes to well-being,
yes,
when it comes to positive work environments, like it just has so many benefits.
Yeah, and there's something that, I don't know, I do think there is a stereotype. Not all of them believe this, but a lot of boomers can believe that new generations like Gen Z could be weak in a way of like, talking about mental health, like,
yeah,
you know, like they can be this generation, crystal generation. But how do you think, like, in these companies can promote mental health awareness among not only younger employees, but also like boomers or just older generations? How do you think they can promote it?
Yeah, it comes from this stereotypes that we have of each generation. I don't know if all boomers or all Gen Z think, Gen X think about, you know, think the same way about therapy and mental well-being and emotional health. But if they do, I feel like teaching just helps a lot. And even for younger generations at the same time, I know a lot of people my age or even younger that think therapy is stupid. They think that it doesn't get you nowhere or that you need to go through it if you're going through a rough patch. And usually, actually, therapy is excellent for any stage of your life. Like, you can do it at any point. Even when you're feeling good, it's important for you to stay in therapy so you can still keep learning about, you know, yourself. So I guess that just teaching, I would say it's the best policy there. Then having a supportive environment. And again, I feel like sometimes companies do not work towards this. Like, they just expect that the environment has to be supportive. Like, no, you have to be positive. You can't talk ill about the business. And they expect that with those conditions and limitations, they are going to create a positive work environment. But it actually takes a lot of work from the company itself to provide a supportive environment, you know, a place where you can make a culture where talking about mental health is okay. I think that's a very positive aspect. Like, if you can take time off because, you know, you're not feeling well, that's pretty much enough good reason to do so. Like, and again, I feel like maybe older generations don't feel the same way. And it's because they've been built in a society. They were raised in a society that was built to endure more things. And it's always also based, you know, due to a lack of knowledge on what mental health is. It's totally normal. It's like what we saw years ago where people ate just anything and they didn't like consider the health factors that it had. Well, more than ever, mental health is important because we receive so much information nowadays compared to older generations where, you know, they had different, you know, very limited channels of communication and the information and like, the stimulation that you received was significantly less than the one that younger generations have when they have such an easy access and constant, like an overwhelming amount of information to process on a daily basis. It's normal that we are not okay. It's normal to not be okay. So I feel like businesses do have to take into consideration how creating and working towards that supportive environment. Something that I feel like could help also, and I've seen this case in many companies, like that are more established. And of course, we have to recognize that a lot of it comes with, you know, the capabilities and the possibilities of investment that a company has in these kinds of benefits. I see a lot of companies creating employee help programs, you know, to give access to counseling or support groups for quick help. For a lot of countries, this is still not a legal requirement. But there are already businesses that are already working towards this because, like I said before, your best employee is a happy employee.
Really agree.
So if you work towards having policies that promote a supportive environment, that promote help programs for employees, that's going to help a lot. And again, it's going to get you it's going to give you even farther than having just these strict tight conditions that really don't consider the reality of your team. Like I said before, flexible work, I think it's a great way to promote mental health, like to improve mental health. Just having a general balance. And I've said this before, companies need to understand that they can't create an environment where the employee is only focused on work.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, nowadays we know that work is not the most important thing in life. Like, there are many more important things in life than work. But we need to be able to understand that reality, to create the ideal conditions so that people, when they are working, they love their work and that they're focused and that they are in their right mindset to do so, to do that. So really just understanding the reality of where people stand as to what work is for them and is for the younger generations. And again, those are the generations of the future. Like if you want to stick to having older employees that still, you know, consider work a different thing, cool. But I don't want to be harsh about this, but we are the generation of tomorrow. Like they're not going to last. I feel like that sounds awful. I'm sorry. Please don't cancel me for this. But you know, the reality is that younger generations and future generations have a very different mindset of what work life is and how important it is. So definitely it's something to take into consideration. Either businesses adapt or they will die out because they will not be able to have structures that sustain their work members in it.
Definitely.
What do you think? Like, would you add something else to maybe what we've been talking about?
No, I think you said it. It's like, I think goals from generations have changed. Nowadays, you see a lot of young people wanting to travel the world. So if you're still a company that can take work from other places, like your workers can do things from other places, just allow them to travel from home. I mean, travel from home, if you can do that. But just work from home so that you can be able to do other things that you love. And that will keep you working in a happy place, you know, like doing the work or your job the best that you can. Because you said it, it's like, it's about being happy of what you do. And I think flexibility, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, definitely. Today's episode, like we mentioned at the beginning, is a little bit shorter because we didn't have any guests. So we're reaching the end of it. Like a wrap up, and just to conclude on everything, Jess, like what practical steps can organizations take right now to create a more inclusive and empowering workplace environment for the leaders of tomorrow? That based on everything that we've discussed today.
I think empathy, it's really important now that we talked about everything. Just implement diversity or just inclusion initiatives to ensure all of these representations from all backgrounds. So even if it's someone from different countries or just people with different ages, I think that will give the company like a great diversity. Also, I think providing mentorship and just coaching programs like the one that you're doing, I think it's really important just to support this professional development and growth. Because again, we're still learning, as we said, and it's really important for us to have this experience so that we can also help this younger generations that are coming. And last but not least, I think foster a culture of a really open and wide communication and collaboration, knowing I will be there for you if you need me with boundaries, and that you will be there with me for me. Because again, we're a team, and that's we're aiming to a same goal. So that just allows us that all voices are heard and valued. I think that's really, really, really important. So now that we've come to an end, I just don't want this episode to end. One day we can probably invite a psychologist about mental health. It will be really great. But I just want to give you, just thank you for tuning in into the Hired Hub podcast. And just join us next time as we continue to explore different strategies for personal and professional growth. Just remember that empowerment starts with you. Success has no age. Just tune in into next time and continue our journey of unlocking the keys to professional growth and fulfillment. This was Jess Torres.
And this is Gaby Morales. Please remember to follow us on our social media. Take care, everyone. That wraps another episode of the Hired Hub podcast. We hope you found today's discussion empowering and insightful. Remember, success in the world of remote work is within your reach, and we're here to support you every step of the way.
Be sure to subscribe to our podcast for more expert advice and engaging conversations.
Please give us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify to help us reach more people who can benefit from the Hired Hat podcast.